It's interesting, this morning as Dave was talking about communion and speaking about communion, he mentioned dirt on the face, mud on the face of somebody. A mother is not going to let her children go into church or probably any place else with mud smeared on their face. She's got the authority and the tenacity to walk up to that child and say, we need to wipe that off. If I asked any one of you to come up and play the piano, we would like to hear Amazing Grace, if you would. Just come on up and play Amazing Grace for us. Come on up there, Guy or John. You know, any one of you, Jackie, come on up. Maybe some of you do play pianos. I missed it, but maybe you can do that for us. I can only think of a couple who can, or would, a few maybe. Or I forgot to tell all of you that each one of you has a 5-minute adult teaching lesson. After the baptism, we'll stand around the lake and everybody will give a 5-minute dissertation on Romans chapter 16, which we'll go into finally. Or anything like that. Anybody want to go take over Sue's place at the bank for a couple hours? Or go, don't touch Lauren's melons. That will be bad. You don't have the authority, first of all. You know, we just don't have those skills. Those are some natural skills, some learned skills. But when it comes to the gifting of God, which again, I will point to you, and I think that we're going to go through a series concerning the Holy Spirit and prayer. Each one of you has a gift, and you don't know what it is, you should. I don't know of a child or a person even on Sunday morning or Saturday night or whatever it is, Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, gift has your name on it, and you'll say, I'll pass. No, it's yours. It has your name on it. When Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. So you have the authority. You have the gift. Do you have the passion? Do you have the boldness? Are you bold? For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So now Christ in his death and resurrection and by sending the Holy Spirit has put his stamp. It is finished on all of the prior prophecies and all the future prophecies. They are a done deal. You can't stop them. You can decide not to read them. You can decide, like most people nowadays, I don't want to understand the coming prophecies. I don't want to understand the coming kingdom of God. You talk about a baby and a king on Christmas. I don't know him. It's very sad. He came to fulfill everything that was written about him. Now it is finished means it is accomplished. It is done in the decrees of God. But we wait to see it play out. He has done this for the Jews first. And now he's done it for the Gentiles. He confirmed it. In order that the Gentiles might glorify God. 2 Corinthians 2:12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Are you bold? I'm not saying proud. I'm not saying arrogant. I'm saying, are you bold? You're bold in your job. You're bold at home. You're bold in those things that you know, that with that lawnmower out in the yard, boy, I'm going to cut that grass. We're bold in those things, but are we bold in the things that Christ has given you for eternity? The most important thing, are you bold in the Holy Spirit? Are you bold with your relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father? Do you know you have access? You go boldly into the throne of God. Esther, she walks in. She could have been killed. She touches the scepter because the king has given her authority to do that. You have authority to do that. I will praise you among the Gentiles. That's you. Rejoice, O Gentiles. That's you. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That's you. The root of Jesse will rule over the Gentiles. That's you. And by the way, that's not bad. We're the sheep of his pasture. But see, now he's our king and he's our authority. You have him as your complete authority. And so now Paul's hope is to free you from despair, to give you hope, free from despair, free from sin, free from death, free from persecution, ultimately freedom from all those things that we despair from and of. In him, Gentiles hope. We hope. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, Gentiles, that apart from us, they, the Jews, should be made perfect. It's together. And he's done it for all of us. So now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's two words of hope there. He hopes that God will give you hope, that God will fill you with hope and joy, because when you have hope, you dance, right? In your heart. You sing in your heart. You carry out life in your heart. You're free from all those things that encumbered you before, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what happens is we wake up again the next morning, we look in the mirror and we say, that guy looks just the same. And by the way, sometimes he acts just the same. And he gets angry just the same, and she does this just the same, and man, yeah. But we have to remember, again, Paul says, forgetting what is behind, we what? We press on. We rejoice. We make ourselves, it's a command, we rejoice in God because he's given us the power to live, power to become sons of God, children of God, and power to carry out those things that you have. You have the authority of the gospel on your life and in your life. You have authority. He does not have low expectations for you. Cutting the grass is something that you do. You decided to buy a lawn, so cut the grass to keep up with the Joneses, right? I apologize to the Joneses. Cut the grass. But he does not have low expectations for you. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear it abundantly. He wants you to abound in life. That's why he came. Now, as commanded, he went first to Jerusalem. Remember, he is going to command the disciples to do this, and so he himself does the same thing. He doesn't do anything that he first doesn't do himself. He commanded the disciples to first go to Jerusalem, and then to Judea and Samaria, and to all of Israel, and that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. And then, of course, he touched on the fringes and went to Sidon and you know, the Canaanite woman and the ten cities, remember, on the other side of the Lake of Galilee. So he went there first. I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And in Luke 24:47, in his name, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then in Acts 5:31, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And then in Acts 11, when they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now, that's that king's decree. He has granted repentance. And I've been thinking about this for the last couple years. It just keeps coming up over in my brain. And I actually just keep praying for this. And maybe you'll take it up as a prayer for yourself as well. That God, you granted the Gentiles repentance. In other words, nobody can turn from their wicked ways. Nobody can be enlightened by your word or by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can run or flee or depart from their sins unless you grant it. So have you ever asked for that grant? Well, you did when you say, Jesus, I believe. You saved me from my sin, I believe. But do you continue to say, Lord, I'm asking for you to grant me full repentance. I want to repent from those things that upset you, that upset our relationship, that upset other people's relationship, which, by the way, that upsets him as well. Lord, please grant me full repentance. Have you fasted for it, prayed for it, sought it? Lord, you've granted the Gentiles repentance as you did the Jews. And by the way, he will do it for the Jews again. He's going to grant them repentance again. Remember, they're blinded for a time, and they will be granted repentance again. God grants repentance to open our eyes and to believe and to bear fruit. And so he does this by the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to pray and hope for that. We don't walk through our life going, boy, I sure hope I could just, you know, maybe have a glass of water today from the Lord. Or, I mean, that's good. The minor things are good. We don't despair over those things, worry over the minor things. We should praise him for those things. But he wants you to have a life that is abundant. And in reality, that is a free heart, free from fear, free from sin. You go about your life with the authority of the Holy Spirit stamped on you as a seal of promise. We don't mope around. It's that one joke. Remember the professor used to walk up and down the sidewalk in the morning, and a student would come by, and the professor said, how are you this morning? And the student would always say, okay, under the circumstances. And finally the professor said, what are you doing under the circumstances? You know, get on top of them. Now there's some things that we can't. And just ask Job. Okay, we understand those. We understand it. That God brings circumstances. But we have the authority to walk in this life and do those things he has granted to us because he died for it. He paid a price for it, and then he gave you a gift for it. And you are to walk in this life with that authority and with that boldness. With that boldness. Keep the idea of boldness in your head as we go along. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge and able to instruct one another. He's going to say it again in the next chapter. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. And so he's satisfied and he's very happy. And yet, he's not complacent, is he? He's not dumb, because Satan is an adversary. And he's wanting to derail us and kill us, because now you're a son and daughter of the king. You're an ambassador. You walk around with this badge of ambassadorship from Jesus Christ by his blood. And so he says, I'm satisfied about what you're doing. But then he's saying, what's he going to say? Keep it up. Keep going. Don't be complacent. How did we get here? How did you get into the kingdom of God? Well, we know it's by the Holy Spirit, by his will, by his edict, his decree. We know that he called your name. He knows your name. We understand all that. I'm talking about the natural order of things. in your body, in your life, how did it happen? Did you just wake up one day out of the blue and say, I think I'll be a Christian? No, it never happens that way, because God calls you. Now, how does he call you? Somebody had to be bold. Somebody had to tell you. Now, yeah, it's easy for me because, you know, I'm up here and you guys expect me to do this, right? That's why we called you. That's why you get the big bucks. Right? You're up there and that's what we expect you to do, and we will fire you if you don't. And that fear just keeps me coming every Sunday. That's a joke. I love coming up here. But how about those people who don't hear in Sunday school, or don't hear, or are confirmed by somebody else after Sunday school, after church? Somebody talks to you about being born again, coming to church, finding Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, wanting to go to the next life, wanting to go into the kingdom of God. Where does that boldness come from? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from their hope. See, they found hope. And they're like that calf released from a stall. And they're happy and joyful in their walk, right? I told you what happened when I was 16. I was that calf released from the stall, and I went and I beat my head over my brother over the head with a Bible, you know. He didn't like it, but I tell you what, it was confirmed later. I had to leave. But somebody else got bold and confirmed it for him. Nobody gets into the kingdom except they hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you have that boldness. You're not arrogant. Sometimes you're even afraid. But you say, you know what? I think this is my opportunity. I know a little bit about Jesus Christ. I know a little bit about the church. I read this yesterday. This was in my devotion this morning. Let me share with you. Because God, in all his sovereignty, he comes up with those very interesting intersections of life, don't he? You had one. We've all had one. We've had more than one. God keeps sending us intersections. We got here because we're bold. How's the next person going to get here? Who's coming through the door next? Who's coming into the kingdom next? And how? Through your boldness. On some points, I have written to you very boldly. It's not just boldly. He's like, he's getting really bold. By way of reminder, because of the grace given me to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, to the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And again, every single time I come to something like this and Paul says, I, that's going to give you an out, because you're going to say, I'm not Paul. I didn't write Romans. I don't understand Romans. You got to use the whole scriptures. And you were called as a what? A royal priesthood? A holy nation? We are, Paul says, we, corporate, are what? Ambassadors? Right? You have no out here. You have no out. Now, I'm not even saying that you're seeking one. Here's what I'm getting at. You have the authority of all that. You have the authority of Paul. He's dead. He did not come up to me personally and tell me about Jesus Christ. His words helped. The Holy Spirit helped. And so did the preacher who preached to me. And the friend who preached to me. Right? And the Holy Spirit who judged me and convicted me and then saved me. You have all that it takes. And the next person has all it takes, but it takes you. It takes us as a ministry. Some are called to preach on the corners. Some can go out there on the street corner and preach the word of God. Some can't. Some have been given this gift and this gift and other gifts. But we are all ambassadors, and you know your testimony in Christ. You know Jesus Christ. Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. More boldly, look at 2 Corinthians 3:12. Since we have such a hope, without hope, there is no boldness. There's no boldness. And again, what happens is that Satan and the world want to steal that hope from you. They want to remind you that you're a complete sinner and you're a fool for Jesus, and you know, you're ridiculous, you're wasting your life. And Paul is saying, when you woke up this morning, did you still have that hope? Oh, absolutely. Are you comfortable in it all the time? No, but you still have it. I know where I'm going. I know the person who saved me. I know that the cross was sufficient. His death paid it all, or it didn't. Okay, here's the faith moment. Okay, ready? Did Jesus Christ pay for all your sins or just some? And if you have to say, and you do, all of them, his grace and his death is sufficient, you better wake up bold. You can wake up bold. You can wake up in hope. Not arrogance, but I am so thankful to him and so hopeful for the next life, and now I can speak about it to some extent. Verse 13, not like Moses. When is the last time you read this? And then went back and looked at what happened to Moses. This came up recently, didn't it? It's interesting how the Holy Spirit just brings these up. This came up in a recent lesson here, and it came up again. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Do you remember the story of Moses? Do you remember that? How many times did he go on the mountain? Twice. How many times was he there for 40 days and 40 nights? Twice. How many times was he there for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water? Twice. You go, wait a minute, that's not natural. Somebody dies after several days of no water. You can go maybe 30 days without food, right? But not with water, not without water. And then again, not in the presence of God. You die in the presence of God. Strike three, Moses, you're dead. And yet he went up there. Now let me read out of Exodus 34, verse 29. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, now picture this. He's got the two tablets. He's been up there for 40 days and 40 nights for the second time. He's got all of this history behind him and the tablets, all the authority in the world, right? Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them boldly. You could probably even just add boldly. You don't want to add to the word of God, but you can say, you know, he came down with all that experience and the tablets. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them. Now you can say he did it boldly, because when you command somebody, get that dirt off your face. That's pretty much a command, isn't it, Mom? All the Lord had spoken with him in the Mount Sinai, and when Moses had finished speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Why? because the shine faded. It's kind of like your hope when it fades. When your hope fades, your boldness fades. And when your boldness fades, you're not talking about Jesus anymore. See, Moses, he wanted to keep that veil up. Like, see, my face is still shining, and I still command you with this authoritative voice and all the authority that's behind this veiled mask. He shined because he was in the presence of God. I told you there was a statue out there done by Michelangelo based on Jerome, who did the Latin Vulgate, and he mistranslated this and said, basically, Moses came down with horns. And why would he do that? Why was the translation so far off? Well, honestly, it's not really too far off. Because in the Old Testament, what does horns mean? I bet Gary could tell us. Horns was strength. It means the strength. He came down with strength. He came down with the authority of God. But his face shined. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he held the two tablets of the testimony, and he knew that his face was horned from the conversation of the Lord. Do you know that you have the authority? Do you have the two tablets and the New Testament? You have the Spirit of God? You have all the boldness that Moses never had? He never had the Holy Spirit. It came upon him, but it wasn't in him. He had the Ten Commandments, but he didn't have this full story of Jesus Christ, did he? You have that full story. You have so much more than Moses had. So much more than John the Baptist. Remember, no greater man was born, and yet those in the kingdom are greater? Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Because you know more. And now, you can talk more. You can hope more. You can be bold more. You don't need a veil. You say, well, my people know me. My friends know me. The people I went to school know me. My kids know me. Yeah, they do. And you're the testimony of change. You're the testimony of fruit. You... And he says, I will not dare to speak of anything except what Christ was accomplished. The word dare is to boast. The word is used in dare to question, dare to boast. I'm bold. Philippians 1:14, and most of the brothers and sisters having confidence in the Lord because of my imprisonment, now more than ever, they dare to speak the word fearlessly. Because of the hope that Paul had shown them by being in prison. 2 Peter 2:10 uses the word brazen in the English. We're brazen. We're right out there. And they're going to call you a fool for Jesus. That's okay. We're not arrogant for Jesus. But we're bold for him. And we're bold for the lives of others. So many purposes. We talked about the purposes of Paul. And said, remember, one of them is so that I may... Now, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. I want to impart to you the gospel. I want to impart to you or present everybody holy in Christ. And I want to present you as a pure virgin. And that's really what you're after. You and I want to present each other to Christ daily, I would say. Without boldness, the work doesn't get done. The work is hard. Being bold is hard, but without boldness, it does not get done. The gospel does not go out. And if it does go out without boldness, it's weak and pathetic. And if ineffective, it will not be honored. It will not be honored. It will be honored by people who take it with an honest heart and give it out to people who need it. Preach. Don't preach a watered-down or partial gospel, deal with sin. Deal with the mud on somebody's face. He stood on the authority of Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something here. The word spur. The word spur. I want to spur you on. We know it as a metal tool. It's designed to put on boots or something. Somebody's on a horse, on the heels. And a lot of times when we watch old westerns, we see the cowboy digging his spurs into the horse, don't we? Like, giddy up, and that horse takes off. And boy, that's exactly what we want. I'd like to have a horse rider come up and tell us exactly how that works, because I don't think it's that way. I think the horse is going to, you know, throw him off most times. I don't think that's how you use a spur. The spur is a tool that you lightly touch the animal with. And if you roll it, I understand that there's a different act that the horse will take. It sends a signal, a gentle signal, true and bold, but gentle. This word has come about in the English as a stimulus. It incites, it provokes somebody to action or somebody to a decision. The word in the Gospels is an incitement or an irritation in Acts chapter 15:39. It's a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. It's a Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold resolutely to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to spur one another onto love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And this is exactly where Paul's going. I want to remind you, because of sin's deceitfulness, it will deceive us into acting wrongly. Titus 3:8, this is a trustworthy saying. I want you to emphasize these things so that those who have believed God will take care, that's the word spur, will take care to devote themselves to good deeds. These things are excellent and profitable, and I've reminded you before, Peter several times in his epistles will say, I'm here to remind you. I'm here to remind you. I want to remind you. So Paul in 15:17, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I may make it my ambition to preach the gospel. And here's what he's saying. In my ministry, I can be proud in Christ. I can boast, and you'll say it several other places, I boast in Christ. I don't boast in me. I don't boast of those things. I don't even boast in my yard. Look at my yard. But I boast in the ministry that Christ has given me, because by the power of his Holy Spirit and the work that he is doing, it is God who works in you both to will and to do good works for his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 12:6, there are different ways of working, but the same God works all things in all people. You don't have to be afraid. You have all the hope and the glory of God and his decree behind you. You have a badge of ambassadorship of Christ. So take it with you. If you are meant to stand on the corner out here, go at once. If you're not, you watch for opportunities. You pray for opportunities. And the Holy Spirit, because he's out to get his work done, will open up the opportunities for you to be bold. But then it is up to you to be bold. Lord, we love you and praise you. We worship you and honor you. We thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, and the boldness that we have by the power of the Holy Spirit and the hope that you have granted to our hearts, because we know Jesus Christ, have been called by the Father, are empowered by the Spirit to do this life. Yes, to mow our lawns, but yes, to be ambassadors to Christ, to do those things you've called each one of us to do. And I can't do their work and they can't do mine. You've given each one of us something to do, someone to talk about, someone to pray for, and someone to be bold with and for. We pray these things because you've commanded it of us, but you've also decreed it that it will happen if we are walking by the Holy Spirit of God. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.